Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, all fathers are ordained by God to teach their kids about the things of God. Dad, if you're not doing it, then start tonight, start tomorrow. But God says fathers are to do this, raise their kids up in the ways of the Lord.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called Politics and Your Faith with a message titled Why Traditional Marriage Matters. Now, no matter what our culture has to say, marriage between a man and a woman is God's invention. This is why this series is vitally important, especially when it comes down to how we vote in the upcoming election. So we urge you to stick around. You see, God calls the institution of a traditional marriage blessed. A sacred union that comes from the genius of God to create life and prosperity. Marriage is God's building block for a nation, and we are to defend it at all cost. An attack on marriage? Well, quite frankly, that's an attack on God. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that traditional marriage is God's plan for the family. It's why parents, and not the government, should have the primary responsibility of training up America's children. Now, with his message called Why Traditional Marriage Matters, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Now, all of a sudden, some of you who haven't heard this challenge in a while are starting to wake up to the fact that, oh my goodness, now I see why I need a biblical worldview. Well, how about this? It's our topic tonight about marriage. What about marriage? The Bible says it's invented by God. Is marriage a political issue? Is it a religious issue? Or is marriage a moral issue? I think you know the answer to these questions. Each topic I brought up, the answer is yes to every one of them. Yes, it is a political issue. Yes, it is a religious issue. And yes, it is a moral issue, which drives home the point of you nurturing a biblical worldview. You as a Christian are to live your faith out everywhere at all times, and there is no secular and sacred in the life of the Christian. All is sacred. No matter where you go. So tonight we'll be talking about marriage. Well, you know, that's a political issue. Really? As though what? As though we are not to talk about it? Well, you know, we are in church. But God invented it. Well, then maybe it's a religious issue. Well, then if it's just a religious issue, then why is the government involved in marriage? Oh, you're right. Then maybe it's a moral issue. See, you can't hide. These are the issues that you and I live and deal with every day. And you're going to be voting, and you're going to be training up your children, and you're going to be speaking to others at the water cooler at work, and you're going to, without even knowing it, you're going to be segueing back and forth throughout these issues. And out of convenience, I say convenience, self-established convenience, we will say, well, I don't get into those kinds of issues. You cannot live life without being involved in these issues. So here we go, our biblical worldview on politics as it relates to marriage. Jot it down, number one. Are you guys okay? Why are you so quiet for? You're very quiet. Very, very quiet tonight. Number one, marriage is God's invention. Marriage is invented by God. God says so. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, our moral likeness. According to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27, he, that's God, created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God invented marriage. Now, if you're a skeptic out there, you're saying, how do you get marriage out of that verse? Just hang on, I'm not done. If we're looking at this in a forensic way, we look at this and what do we know for sure? Number one, let's just take these crazy Christians at their word for a second. They're claiming that God said that he made mankind in his moral likeness. That's what that word means, in his image. And that he made them male and female. He created them male and female. The Bible says God made them male and female. So we want to ask the question, why four? How come? Well, then he goes on and he says, and I blessed them. I put my thumbs up. I said, that is God, right on. And then what did he say? He said, Adam and Eve, go wrestle over there in the bushes and have a great time. Go be fruitful and multiply. Have babies. Fill up the earth. Oh, this drives a lot of people crazy today. Because you know what? A lot of our kids who are in this gathering tonight, and forgive me for saying kids, you're a college, university student, but I'm an old man, so to me, you're a kid. Sorry, I know you're a very, very mature adult, but you're being told in school, we should not have children. The earth is overpopulated. One of the biggest, fattest lies you're being told. It's ridiculous. The earth is not overpopulated, no matter what Al Gore says. Marriage is God's invention. God says, I did this, I invented marriage. Notice that he calls it blessed, though. God says marriage is a blessed thing. You see, you're still using the word marriage, and the word marriage isn't right there. Okay, but look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Genesis 2, 25. The Bible says, and they were both naked, the man and his what? Wife. His wife. The Bible calls Eve Adam's wife. That implies marriage. God, the Bible says, brought her to him. Listen, bad government, ungodly politics seeks to dissolve the undeniable reality of marriage. God invented marriage. Look, you may not like marriage, so don't like it. You may not believe in marriage, so don't believe in it. It doesn't change the fact. God, who you are not, invented marriage. And the beautiful thing about it is, I wish we had 3 to 4 to 5 hours to do this message tonight just on sociology and the evidence of what marriage and how marriage is needed to build a culture is remarkable. I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Who in their right mind would seek to redefine marriage? I want you to think about that for a second. No one, including a Christian, no one's got the right or the authority to redefine marriage. Nobody. What kind of arrogance is that? If you don't like God's definition of marriage, you'll have to, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. But God invented it. Now look, if a person of the same sex, gender, if they want to have sex with the same gender, behind doors, listen, that's your freedom, that's your right to do. It'll kill you, you'll die young. It doesn't produce anything. And then in the end, there's judgment because it is sin like all other sin. Not one sin's greater than the other sin. God says it's wrong. But then to come out of that room and say, we want this to be called marriage. You can get every law in the universe passed and have a banner put over same-sex union, but it's not marriage. God says it's male and female. Now watch this. The very first wedding is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he, that is the Lord, took one of his ribs. That's amazing. You say, that's ridiculous. But you know what's funny? The more we learn now through DNA research and all, makes perfect sense. Cloning, things like that. Man tampers with cloning. It's nothing for God to sprinkle some pixie dust on Adam. He falls over in the grass and God takes his rib out of him. Didn't that hurt? Apparently not. God's the surgeon. It was perfect. Isn't it wild? God could have snapped his finger and Eve could have just been there. Isn't it amazing that God in his love and in his unity of male and female took from Adam? And look, listen, it didn't come from his heel. God took a portion of Adam's heel or baby toe and made a woman. No, it was the bone, it was the DNA closest to his heart, which I think is pretty cool. His rib.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And closed up the flesh in its place. And then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. First wedding ever. God brings Eve to Adam and he says, whoa, man, wow. Woman! Wouldn't it be amazing to see that? Adam's going, man, after seeing giraffes and donkeys and all this stuff pass by, and he's named them too by, he's, okay, there's Mr. and Mrs. Hippopotamus. And the Bible says at the end of the day, there's nobody fit for Adam. Thank God, hallelujah. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? All right, Adam! What? And there's some, you know, turtle? Adam's, everybody's got a, he's got a clipboard and he's naming them all. The Bible says he's naming them. And at the end of the day, he's very alone. Thank God. God had a plan. Marriage has been invented by God. Number two, marriage is God's sacred model. You wonder why it's hard to be married? Well, what are you laughing at? Marriage is tough. Don, listen. How many of you are not married? Raise your hands. You're not married. Oh, let me tell you. Let me be the first to tell you. Marriage is hard. Marriage is hard work. Marriage is a ministry. Marriage is tough. It's supposed to be that way. So I thought marriage is to make me happy. I met this man and he's going to make me the happiest woman in the world. Listen, you better wake up now. Now, wake up. Marriage is designed by God to make you holy, to make you understand the servant nature of Christ, the servant nature of God. Marriage is a sacred model. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says, the Pharisees came to Jesus, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them in the beginning made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? I really believe that's miraculous stuff there. I'm still reading this verse, so leave it on the screen. But I believe that is so powerful. Even when two non-believers get married, because God invented marriage and it's a sacred union, God honors their marriage. Well, what about if they're both atheists? He honors the institution of marriage. And when two people come together sanctioned by God in marriage, body, soul, and spirit, something happens. I think it's a miracle. When he says one flesh, you got to think that through for a second. One flesh, what does that mean? It means something way, way beyond what we think it means. A husband and wife cannot come together without a spiritual event taking place, even if they're non-believers. There is a welding of person that is absolutely amazing. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, glued, assembled, welded together, let no man separate, God says. Wow. It's a sacred model, marriage is. A sacred model ordained by God. Matthew, again, 19, verse 7 says, and they said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce to put her away or divorce your wife? Why did Moses say we could do it? And Jesus said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. From the beginning, it was not so. You hear that? God says marriage is sacred because it's a supernatural event. Watch, everyone. It's a supernatural event where a man and a woman, a male and a female, ordained by God, come together and something blessed takes place. And our culture has made so much fun of it, I believe because of satanic attack and influence, to undermine marriage, to debase marriage, to get the young generation today on a spiritual, who knows what, suicide mission, culturally, to say, I'm not going to get married. Or I looked at my parents' marriage and it stinks and I'm not going to do that. More and more young people today are choosing to live together than to get married. Little do they know that they're destroying the inside of their soul and hearts because they have all the trappings of home and plain house, but there's not a commitment. One falls in love, or maybe they both fall in love, but there's no anchor. There's no concept of God, and they'll wind up breaking it off. So, well, we don't need a piece of paper for that to happen. That's right. You don't need a piece of paper for that to happen. That piece of paper speaks about, in America anyway, about what is transpiring spiritually. Thank God that's not lost yet in our world. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives. Does that sound like a suggestion? Husbands, pray about it. No. Husbands, love your wives. Well, how? Just as Christ loved the church. What does that mean? He gave himself for her. Translation, you need to drop dead for your wife. You need to be willing to die for your wife. And I can feel it. I feel it right now. You don't know my wife. I can feel it. You can feel it. I can feel it. The resistance. Whatever your wife is, God has ordained you as the husband that if you are willing to take up the mantle of Jesus and love your wife, God will change your heart. God will change her life. That's the power that God so honors marriage. He will honor the husband's position if that husband submits himself to Christ and starts loving on his wife the way Christ loves the church. God will change your heart. You watch. Yeah, I don't believe it. Then just keep what you have. But if you want to take God at his word, watch what happens. But I was still reading. Verse 26, Ephesians 5, that he may sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Give your wife the word of God. That he might present her to himself a glorious church. So wait. Watch the change. Watch the amazing verbiage and word usage. We were just talking about husbands loving their wives. Then it says that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. Hear how it's woven together, this sacred model? For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, here it is, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ in the church. Wow. Husbands and wives are an earthbound living example of the ministry of Jesus Christ and his church. Point number three, our biblical worldview on politics and marriage. Marriage is God's plan for the family. God says so. So question, should the government be involved in the family? Now let me restate it this way. Should parents or the government have the primary responsibility of training up your child? That's a better way to put it, huh? See, today people will say, should the government be involved in the family? In some ways, the answer is yes by some. And then the other answer would be no by others. But if you put it this way, it's the same question. If you repackage it and you ask it this way, should parents or the government have the primary responsibility of raising your child? Now all of a sudden, we go back to the introduction of what government is for. Do you hear me? Government is for providing me safety and protection in my culture to pave the streets. When I flush the toilet, everything's supposed to go out to the sewer. That's government. Government is supposed to have a police force. Government is supposed to have a military for me to protect me. Government is to do the infrastructure stuff and the law enforcement stuff. Government is not to take your children from you, and I do not have the time tonight to stress and show you. More and more homeschooling parents in Europe have been arrested or their children have been taken from them, and I believe it's New Hampshire where a mom and a dad were arrested for homeschooling. A court ordered by the judge, the child must go to public school, and the parents refused and they were arrested. Now stop right there. Are you a Christian?
Yes.
Do you think we should be talking about politics?
No.
That's politics, friends. Is that religious? Is it moral? Or is it political? You see where this comes home now? There's nowhere to hide. It's all of the above. You cannot parse them out. Now it's getting close to home. Marriage is God's plan for the family. Genesis 2:21, therefore a man shall leave his father and mommy and be joined to his wife. They shall become one flesh. By the way, listen, when you get married, you say goodbye to mom and dad. Okay, if you can't say goodbye to mom and dad, then don't get married yet. Cut the apron strings. I don't know, whatever. But you hurt my feelings. I'm going to tell my mom. Obviously, it was years and years and years and years ago. Lisa's oldest sister got married, and she, a couple weeks later, shows up at mom and dad's house, knocking on the door, crying with her bags. We got in the fight! And Lisa's dad, God bless him, he's in heaven now, but Lisa's dad opened the door, he's standing there, and goes, what are you doing here? She goes, we got in a big fight, and I've come home. He said, no, you didn't come home. No, he did. He said, get out of here. Go back home and make it work. Go home and make it work. And that, listen, you go home and you make it work. Leave and cleave.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Why Traditional Marriage Matters. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Politics and Your Faith. It's a series on obeying God in all things, including politics, government, and our worldview. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Well, hey, everybody, this very special offer is amazing. Just wait till you see this. Just wait till you get your own copy in the mail. It's written by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. The title of the book is With the Word, and let me tell you, that will not disappoint because it is a chapter-by-chapter Bible handbook. And, you know, it's about 6 inches tall and 3 inches thick. It is an amazing, exhaustive, but yet easy to read book that prepares you for every chapter of the Bible. Every chapter of the Bible has a brief overview of what that chapter contains. You're going to want to get a copy of it and enjoy it for yourself. With the Word, with Dr. Warren Wiersbe, the featured offer for this month.
With the Word by Dr. Warren Wiersbe is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Did you know that along with the radio program, Pastor Jack also has a TV show with more of the Pastor Jack Hibbs content that you like? It's called Real Life TV. If you enjoy Pastor Jack on the radio, you're going to love him on TV. So check out your local listings or visit jackhibbs.com and catch the latest episodes. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.